All right, we'll watch those storms, and you can text in if there's anything noteworthy in your area. It has been a big week for news about downtown Minneapolis in a good way. And so we wanted to talk, and I think it's a good way. I know some of you out there will talk to me till you're blue in the face about how you don't want to come back to the office, how it's not your job to support the coffee shops and the restaurants. I hear you, and then I dismiss you. I am hearing you. I think it's going to be great for downtown Minneapolis, and I think we'll get used to it. I'm hopeful that the new era incorporates the flexibility that so many of us want. So you'll still have that flexibility, and also we have downtowns, Minneapolis and St. Paul, that have lively, energetic activity. And not empty buildings. Adam Dunick is the president and CEO of the Minneapolis Downtown Council. I know you and I are fairly aligned on this topic, yes?
Without a doubt, absolutely.
Target announcing officially that they're bringing their largest business unit back. And Target is so ridiculous in the way they talk about all this. They're like, this is not a policy change. Our leaders... Different sector leaders have or departments have been able to call their teams back however they wish. But it's a big deal when the biggest unit, the commercial unit, brings back what? Do you have a sense for how many folks are going to end up back downtown three times a week?
It's without doubt hundreds of employees, possibly even 1,000. It's their biggest unit, so it's hard to know exactly how many employees, but it's a big deal. As has been said, I think, in the newspapers, this is a Target town. And they really set the tone for business leadership. And this has been something I think people have been waiting for quite some time. You know, to be clear, they've been leaders in a lot of other ways downtown, certainly big supporters of us and of some of the work that we do to support all of downtown.
They're still like spending money on nonprofits and sponsoring stuff. And I see them everywhere.
Absolutely.
Like they have not vanished.
Right. But this last bit of having them in the office makes a big difference, not only for their employees, but all of the other businesses that have a presence here to do work with Target and for Target. It really has a huge ripple effect for our city.
How do we really get a handle on how many people are downtown? Do you have, after all this time, a metric or a way of measuring that feels reliable to you?
There are a couple ways to measure it. One is some cell phone data. There's a company that we work with. They're a vendor, Placer AI. A lot of people use it. A lot of retailers track it to track foot traffic in their own stores, you know, week by week, month by month. You can also track badge swipes and work with companies to try to get a sense. That's up to them whether they want to share that information with us. But, you know, we're right around. We've been watching this for a while.
Parking ramps, that helps too.
Correct. Yeah, I just was talking to a close friend, works for City Parking. They have 12 garages. You can get a sense for what the revenues are, what the trajectory is. Transit ridership is another indicator. As transit ridership increases, we see more people in the office and more people downtown. So there's a handful of different things we look at to closely track. But the cell phone data can break out people that live here versus tourists and travelers versus people that just are coming to the office more 9 to 5.
Adam Dunick is with us from the Downtown Council in Minneapolis. I mean, some of this we're feeling already, which sort of surprises me. I guess I didn't know what kind of vibe we were going to feel summertime in downtown. Summertime downtown in this state has always had a Friday vibe, right? Like that summer Fridays that many companies use.
Yeah, there's just a lot of vacations that happen. There's some juggling of people's family schedules and that sort of thing.
It does feel like many of the Skyway business owners have said, yeah, like we haven't had the dip that over the past post-pandemic years we've seen in June.
That's correct. And the other thing we watch closely and work with Beat Minneapolis, our tourism partners, is what do the hotels look like? That really drives a lot of traffic downtown. And that has remained strong this year, too. Last year, we had 3 record months in a row in our city for hotel occupancy. So taking a look at what that was going to do in relation to the concerts, the other conventions, the other kind of business that we're trying to attract. There is some move towards more business travel, too. Delta's reporting that. Other airlines are seeing that in their in the records that they're tracking. And so that's an exciting, hopefully, next step that we'll see in a turn and a transition as we see more people come into the office and getting back to a little bit more of a, you know, normal. I don't like to say normal because we have evolved. I mean, the workday and the work week will likely never look the same in terms of Monday through Friday being there, you know, 8 or 7 in the morning till 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
And I think that's mostly positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that people are able to have flexibility. My beef has always been that I think part of why people are frustrated with coming to the office is the fact that managers have been relatively inflexible. All of us have had that moment in our work career where you sort of had to beg to get out of work early to go to a kid's choir concert or soccer game. Mm-hmm. You felt guilty leaving to go to the dentist in the middle of the day. I hope, and I fear, but I hope that, you know, there will be some lessons learned about what employees really did like about the flexibility.
Without a doubt. And I would even add on to that, the thing that I've heard loud and clear from companies all over the city is it has to do with culture, both driving culture, getting people in the office for an important reason, and then having the office designed in a way that makes sense, not just sitting in your office, not interacting with people. How do you mix the social time with the focus time? Those sorts of questions are things companies have been grappling with for quite a while, even before the pandemic. That just kind of exacerbated the challenges that they're facing.
When we get back to a more busy, more active downtown, what are the things that, you know, you guys are looking at as a downtown council to make sure that this goes well? What are, you know, the official dates for Ameriprise for going from 3 to 4 days, mm-hmm. for Target coming back in a bigger way? You know, we want it to be good. We don't want it to flop and then have all the workers say, like, well, I told you, this is why it sucks. Whether it's, you know, what are things you guys are working on in that regard?
That's a great question. It's a bunch of things. And I would say it starts with issues of transportation, access, trying to connect either the commuters with the easiest way to their buildings and that sort of thing, to working with Metro Transit on their transit routes. So we play a role to that degree in a collaborative role with the city or with other groups in those areas. And then making it a clean, green, and safe operation is exactly what the Downtown Improvement District does. It's the other part of the operation that I oversee. It's a project of the Downtown Council. But the DID has the ambassadors out there. We have safety presence that works out on the street to make sure that people come down and have a great experience, a better experience than maybe they thought they were going to, and to try to, you know, make this the cleanest, safest city that they would want to spend their day in. My hope is that the more people that are coming to the office every day, they have that experience, talk about it with their friends and their social networks and say, hey, it's not just going to a game that made going downtown enjoyable or going to a restaurant. It's also going to the office every day.
I want to ask you about Hennepin County because the Star Tribune wrote about that. One of their columnists wrote about that today. I have strong opinions on Hennepin County. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Twins Ticket Tuesday, so we are giving away a 2-pack. We also are giving away, it's a 4-pack.
That's a 4-pack.
It's a 4-pack to the Twins.
We're giving away so much stuff, it's easy to get crossed up.
And then a 2-pack of Paul McCartney tickets later. So the Twins tickets will be for Friday, July 25th, the first home game out of the All-Star break. 4 tickets to the Twins versus the Nationals, and they're doing a post-game laser show. So that should be fun. You can buy your tickets for that at twins.com/tickets, but be the third caller when we play that sounder. Hennepin County, Adam Dunick, the president and CEO of the Minneapolis Downtown Council. Hennepin County has what Star Tribune columnist Eric Roper called a lax hybrid work policy. In his story in the Star Tribune today, Eric said that basically you can come into the office one day a month and qualify. The county executive said, well, like, that's not exactly how most people are doing it. But the county and to a lesser degree the city of Minneapolis, I feel, have sort of let us down as taxpayers by not being more aggressive in calling people to come back to the offices that we as taxpayers are paying for. Is there any movement on that front?
You know, I think that there is. Just like all the employers downtown, we are seeing more people in Hennepin County Government Center. There's some progress heading the right direction. When I first started about 18 months ago in this role, I did hear pretty loudly from a lot of businesses, especially restaurants, that they were really frustrated with the county, with the city. Occasionally people would voice frustration about businesses to individual ones, but a lot of frustration with that. And I think the real issue here is there's a downstream tax effect that the valuations of the buildings isn't really having an effect today, but 3 to 5 years from now, people's property taxes are going to increase as the value of buildings go down. And that's going to lead to less of a property tax collection in this downtown core. Yeah. And so that's not happening today until there's more frustration and I think a louder voice from voters to the county board and to people that are making those decisions that this matters to them. We've tried to talk with the county board about ways we can work with them to get more people down here, not just for work, but also for other events and things that they're doing. And we support a couple of their programs. Hennepin has a go outside program for their employees. So they're doing things to try to encourage that behavior. But, you know, like with a lot of employers, hopefully more people continue to come back.
Yeah. And some of it is like, you know, I get frustrated when the city or the county give these stats of how many people are coming into the office or the field. And so like the city of Minneapolis said, nearly 86% of city staff are in the office or the field at least 3 days a week. Well, the city employees, if you take the police department and the public works department out of the mix, like what are we really talking about here?
Right, exactly.
So I don't know. These stats always are like, come on.
I get your take completely. And the thing I'd pivot a little bit to is I think what is can be more harmful is some of the rhetoric from some of the county board members or the city council members about business and about how evil businesses or how corporations aren't helping the community, because that's not the story that we have here in Minnesota. We have a pretty rich tradition of companies showing up in a big way for communities. And instead we get rhetoric about, oh, billionaire sports teams want this, or these companies are trying to hurt people instead of help people. And that just has not been our track record. We've had a much stronger track record of having business and workers work together. And that's, you know, something I'd like to see, and something I'd like to see that rhetoric turn around.
This was a state representative, Aisha Gomez, today on Twitter. Is that what you're talking about?
I was actually more referring to some of the moves recently about...
You're almost directly quoting her tweets. This is a common...
that's maybe incidental, but...
This is not an uncommon view among many.
It's more just the democratic socialist point of view about we should tax individuals in the city level. We should tax businesses. We should regulate the utilities in a different way to help fund city services. And some of this overreach, I just don't think it's really the solution to economic prosperity in Minneapolis. It hasn't worked.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad people are coming back. We got to take care of them when they come back. We got to make it easy as much as we can. There are pretty... Google, like, what the parking options are. There's a lot of cheap options out there, way cheaper than it used to be pre-pandemic. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
having me. Watching on the stream, we're both wearing, like, the same color today. It looks a little ridiculous on YouTube. It's a light pink Tuesday here on CCO.